بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا، صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home, inshallah we hope to conclude this series of discussion on safeguarding of the eyes and the private parts. We may conclude the series of this majlis. However, this is such an important topic, and in fact this is a scourge of our society. We all become victims of this illness and the sickness that we have to keep on reminding ourselves all the time. As is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a poisonous arrow of the poison of the arrows of shaitan. It is a poisonous arrow of the arrows of shaitan. So this bad-nazri that we are talking about, casting lustful glances, which is a muqaddama of zina, it leads a person to zina. So if a person is not careful, then he can indulge in the filthy action of zina. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have brought our attention and drawn our attention to the seriousness of this heinous crime, so that we don't fall prey to this disease, because this is such a disease that will wipe away the noor of our iman, the spiritual glow that a person enjoys. Allah ta'ala takes it away because of bad-nazri. And therefore, mashayikh, all of them have stressed the importance of lowering our gaze and making hifazat of our eyes. Wherever we are, whether it's at home, because sometimes there are ghair mahram women there, whether we're in the shopping malls, whether we're in our businesses or colleges or practices, or in the schools or madrasas, wherever we are. This is a very great test, especially on the men. Although women also get involved in this sin, but more it is upon the men, a very severe test on the men. And therefore Rasulullah sallam has repeatedly mentioned so many ahadith to keep us away from this bimari, from this scourge. And all our mashayikh, some through ash'ar, some through mawa'iz, some nasihat, they remind us all the time that don't look at the different colors that we see of the different women in this world, but look at the person who has bestowed the different textures and features and colors upon them. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, just to recap, we have thus far explained that to abstain from the causes and the means that lead a person to zina and to other sin, to abstain from those means also is necessary. One is the actual sin of zina, of course, which is haram. Everybody has to abstain from it. But there are many things that lead a person to zina. So all those things also Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even go near zina, meaning don't even adopt those causes and don't even go close to those means and reasons for a person being led to zina. And we had mentioned that the fundamental teaching of Sharia, one of the fundamental teachings or advices Rasulullah would give the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in right in the beginning of Islam, was to lower their gazes. And therefore we see the Sahaba radiallahu anhum exercise this chastity. They made hifazat of their glances and their private parts. Even though they were conquering different lands in the world, and the beautiful women were brought in front of them to entice them, to make them ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to weaken their iman and to weaken their strength, so that they may lose those wars and they may not conquer those cities. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in was strong, and they lowered their gazes and not even lift the gaze at any of those pretty women. And Allah Ta'ala strengthened the iman. They were steadfast. Allah Ta'ala kept the noor of the iman in their heart, and they were successful. And we have given many incidents of the past of people who are about to commit zina, but because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they gripped them at that moment, and Allah Ta'ala saved them. It was only Allah's fazl and kindness that Allah Ta'ala saved them. And they withdrew from that act. They did not commit that zina. They made tawbah and istighfar sincerely. Allah Ta'ala forgave them. But those who fall prey to this bimari and keep on casting lustful glances, then automatically it draws the person to sit and watch pornographic material, to watch view haram films and videos and on websites on the internet and other material. Anything the person gets into or access to, immediately he spends hours and hours. So from one thing it will lead to another thing. Sharia tells us so easy. Simple. The effort is just to close, lower your gaze, and then you see the qurb you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We explained also last week that that lady whose husband is away on journey, how important it is for her to maintain her chastity. And even those men or those people who are kept in charge or living around there, they should not interfere with such a woman. If a person really wants spiritual reformation, last week and the other week we mentioned mawa'is, anecdotes, malfuzat of different mashayikh, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. The person wants his islah to take place. We want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want the reformation. Yes, there are many diseases that we are all suffering from. Anger, pride, jealousy, malice. And these are also important diseases that we should cure ourselves from. But our mashayikh are even giving much more importance in this era and time to this badnazri. Why? The effects are worse than the others. In many cases. And therefore, the mashayikh have said a person wants his islah to take place. And in making zikrullah, making tilawat, going for the different spiritual programs that take place. But he is not lowering his gaze. Nazar khub marta hai, they say. He is still casting lustful glances. What happens? Then he will not become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not get that nisbat, that connection, the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a big deterrent in the path of suluk. Person cannot be a friend of Allah when he is casting lustful glances at that woman. If you want to become the friend of Allah, then the person has to lower his gaze. He has to lower his gaze for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who keeps on making badnazri, he or she will not enjoy the true enjoyment of ibadat. Person won't get the lazzat of ibadat. Person is doing salat, he will not get the sweetness of that salat, the enjoyment of the salat. Dhikr, tilawat, whatever ibadat he is making. It will just become just a ritual that he is performing. But he'll be deprived of the enjoyment of that salat. This body we have, we explain it is an amanat. The eyes are an amanat. The ears, the nose, the hands, the different limbs, everything is an amanat. And it has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has entrusted these things to us. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot use the eyes as we wish and deem fit. And says, my eyes, I can do what I want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, certain occasions you got to lower your gaze. Certain times you got to open your eyes and reflect on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the sky, look at the earth, look at the mountains. Open, Allah ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ. Are they not looking? Are they not gazing now? إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Towards the camels how Allah ta'ala has created, etc., etc. So sometimes you got to open your eyes and you got to reflect. Allah ta'ala says, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Do they not see? What Allah has made halal for us, that halal wife, Allah is saying, now look at her. What do? We angry, we cross, we're looking down. Everybody is upset, nobody is talking. You're not looking, you're not casting the lust, that merciful glance at your wife, or that glance of love towards your wife. We mentioned the hadith last week, when a husband looks at his wife with love and muhabbat, the meaning of the hadith was that the husband looks at the wife with love and muhabbat. Now this is a permissible glance. In fact, you're commanded to look at your wife. And she looks at her husband with love and muhabbat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at this husband and wife with a merciful glance. Allah's mercy comes upon such a couple. We had mentioned last week the nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person wants to create this bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has to refrain from casting lustful glances. Initially it is very difficult. Anything a person does, initially it is difficult. But as the person becomes accustomed to it, and especially when it comes to lowering one's gaze, Allah Ta'ala then gives the person some type of enjoyment, which is regarded in hadith as halawat-e iman. This poisonous arrow of shaitan that he is shooting towards you. In other words, he's making you look at that haram woman. But because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person looks away. Apna nazar ko bachata hai. He does not cast a lustful glance. He looks down. He looks away. No matter what the environment is. He is not bothered what the people will think of him. What society will see, what the West will see, that he is looking down. He's got the command of Allah Ta'ala in front of him. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, my banda has done this for my sake. He's not breaking the laws, my laws and my commandment. He's doing it for my sake. Allah says, then I will give him such an iman. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي الْقَلْبِهِ The sweetness of which he would enjoy in his heart. Because of my sake, he did not look at that woman. It is mentioned, we continue, that both the parties involved in the sin of badnazri, man is casting lustful glance at that woman. Hadith says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورَ إِلَيْهِ Allah's curse is upon the one who is casting the lustful glance and upon the one who is looked at. Now to understand this, explanation is, Imam Bayhaqi Ramadulari has narrated this hadith in Shu'ab al-Iman. It appears in Mishkat Sharif as well. The question arises, the curse of Allah Ta'ala descending upon the one who is casting the evil glance is understood. He is doing something wrong. But that woman, she is being looked at. She may not even know that this man is casting a lustful glance at me. She's passing by. He's sitting in his shop, outside his shop or his office, and he's looking at her. Why is she also cursed? The simple explanation to this is, the commentators of hadith have explained, that because, the case is that because the male or female who steps out of his or her home, having adorned oneself in an unlawful manner and with the intention that people be attracted towards him or her, also have evil in their hearts. That woman has stepped out of her home. She's not covered. She's not draped in her hijab and parda. Ask the woman when they come out to work or they leave their homes for any function. Before that, what are they doing? They're beautifying themselves. They're sitting in front of the mirror and preening themselves. They'll use all the cosmetic and all the makeup. For who is this? To impress somebody else. So she will remove, she will come out of her home, she'll emerge from her home. Obviously now, the people may admire her. Men will look at her. So she's exposing her face. She is exposing parts of her body to others. Therefore the hadith says that she is also cursed. It is for this reason that they are also a curse in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore it is so important. Our women are precious to us. And they should be kept protected all the time, secured. Yes, they have some need. Shariat allows it. But a woman needs to go out of her home. There's a need for it. But she must leave with chastity. Leave with hijab and parda. Imagine a husband is working in the office and his wife whole day, she's gallivanting and going here, this mall and that shopping mall and here. And she's talking to every Tom, Dick and Harry. And women, their voices, they're so alluring. Now, so many people are making badnazri on your wife. If you were standing next to her and somebody does that, tries to flirt with her, our whole deen is based on haya, modesty, iman, modesty, haya. Al-haya'u shu'batu min al-iman. In one hadith, Rasulullah SAW explained that there are plus minus 60 or 70 branches of iman. Hadith says, sab'una shu'batan. 70 branches of iman. فَأَفْضَلُهَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The greatest of all these branches is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُهُ. And the lowest of this branch, lowest not in the sense that it is something insignificant, no, it's a branch of iman, very great indeed. Every branch of iman is so important, so great. But the lowest of the branches of iman is imatatul adha anit tariq, when a person removes a harmful object from the path of the people, so that nobody gets hurt and injured. You see a blade of glass, or some glass, or you see some banana peel, or you see some harmful object on the road, and you know somebody will go past, he or she may get injured or hurt, so you remove it. This is also a branch of iman. These two things have been mentioned. Afdaluha la ilaha illallah, adanaha imatatul adha'ani tariq. The other different branches, in this particular hadith is not mentioned, other ahadith mentioned, maybe this is a branch of iman. But in this hadith, one more thing has been mentioned. Afdaluha, the most superior branch, and the lowest of branches mentioned, and then Rasulullah said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. That modesty is part of iman. Rasulullah could have mentioned so many other branches if he wished, but he chose to speak on modesty and haya. That qawm where there's no modesty left, there's immodesty, then we are now asking, we're inviting the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's no sharam, there's no haya. The women folk lose the haya, the sharam. The men lose the haya and sharam. The youth lose the haya and sharam. The elderly people lose the haya and sharam. Then Allah Ta'ala becomes naraz. In one hadith it is mentioned that if you have no more haya and modesty in your life, live, then do whatever you wish. Do whatever you wish. As though Allah and His Rasul don't care anymore about you. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Now, imagine these people are cursed. What is the meaning of it? You say, La'natullah, Allah's curse. Allah's curse simply means that the person is now kept away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of curse. Allah ta'ala protect us from His curse, from the curse of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the curse of the angels, from the curse of the believers. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from a journey, when one of his companions, they were traveling, and this camel that was with them, it was not moving with the rest of the group. It was very sluggish, very slow, very stubborn. So this Sahabi or Sahabiya cursed this camel. The moment Rasulullah heard that this curse, or this camel has been cursed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to separate that camel from the rest of the group. And then he remarked, we do not want something that has been cursed to travel with us. We do not want something that has been cursed by Allah Ta'ala, or been cursed by any person now, to travel with us. Now look at the degree of caution that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exercised in keeping himself away from anything around him that was cursed. Now in this hadith, Allah says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْدُورُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah's curse is upon the person who is casting the lustful glass, and at the woman or the person who is being looked at. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Therefore I said, even though we may conclude this topic today, but we have to remind ourselves all the time. All the time. In various ahadiths, Rasulullah will tell the Sahaba, غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ. Lower your gaze. Keep on reminding the Sahaba. Why? It is a lesson for us that we are living in such a time where there's so much of challenges, so much of fitna. We all are weak, we fall, immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make a slip, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat Mufti Sahib says, you may probably deceive your fellow men. You may probably deceive the people around you, but, you got a but. Let's see what he has to say. He says, man generally assumes that he will only be taken to task regarding a particular task once there is concrete evidence to subject him to trial. Whereas as long as he may avoid such a situation, he persists in the doing of the said action. Like some, for example, a little boy at times also turns to some mischief on the pretext that he will only have to worry about it if his father gets to know about it. Very common, all of us, when we were small, we do something, we get up to mischief, and we carry on. The moment the mother says, let the father come home tonight, or let daddy come tonight, or papa come tonight, then you'll see, the other persons are shaking. So till then, he enjoyed his mischief. Now the fear of the father makes him stop whatever mischief he was up to. It is on this note that Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Mu'min, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. And this is the verse we discussed last week also. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of the deception of the eye and that which the heart conceals. Allah Ta'ala specifically mentioned the word eye and what the heart conceals. The deception of the eye entails the following, that a person is seated in a room with others. He's got friends, he's got family people. Suddenly a woman passes by. Now very deceptively, he casts a lustful glance upon her without anyone else having realized, observe what happened. We see he looks from the corner of the eye and he pretends as though he was not looking. But one glance, he's mastered it so well that just one glance that he already had thrown a lustful glance upon her. So what he has done, perhaps his people around him did not know. He may have deceived them, but he hasn't deceived Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows this khiyanat that he has made. Allah knows that from the side of his eye, he looked at that woman. So, does he not realize that Allah ta'ala is looking at him? Does he not realize? Koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se. You may do something quietly, secretly from the people of the world, nobody came to know. Koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Somebody is watching you all the time from the heavens, from the skies. Wherever the person is, Mufti Sahib writes, it is on this note that I had suggested earlier, due to the gravity of the deed, Allah Ta'ala also prescribed the remedy for it in the Quran. And what is the remedy? That one begins to realize. He formulates the realization in his heart at all times, that Allah Ta'ala is present. Allah is observing my actions. Allah is observing my action. This is a muraqabah. Muraqabah that you talk about doesn't mean you sit one side, close your eyes and you snooze and you sleep away. Muraqabah means to have this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala watching you all the time. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. This ayat is so powerful to gain the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Alam ya'lam, does man not know anna Allah, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does man not know that Allah Ta'ala is watching him? Every action of his, Allah is watching. He says, look, ulama have explained, if you're seated somewhere, and a very attractive woman passes that way, and your father is also present in that gathering, and your father is watching every movement of yours, he's watching, observing your actions, will you dare to raise your gaze? Similarly, if you are in the presence of your ustad, similar thing, you will not look at any woman. You sit in front of your sheikh, you won't look at any woman. So accordingly, if one is in the company of his sheikh or his father or any other person, senior person, he's sitting with the person and this very pretty woman goes past, he will not have the guts or the courage to look at that woman. He will abstain. Why? What is he worried about? The negative perception that person will have regarding him. So he's worried about his image. He doesn't want to tarnish his image. My father will think bad of me. My sheikh will think I'm such a big buzrug now. What am I doing? You see, so he's worried about his sheikh. He's worried about his father. He's worried about his ustad. But he's forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why will one abstain from doing so? Simply because of the fear of tarnishing one's reputation. Whereas, it will have no repercussions upon oneself in terms of job or income or the like thereof. And neither does any of these individuals have any control over one's life in any way. But what is it? Why doesn't he realize that Allah Ta'ala is all-seeing? Allah is Basir. And Allah is Alim, all-knowing. He's Al-Basir and Al-Alim. So if we make this muraqabah, this is an ilaj, this is a prescription. We have this problem. A person is casting lustful glances. What is the first thing a person should do? Lower his gaze. Person has to make this effort, this mujahada, to close his eyes, lower his gaze, and not to look. And he must bring into himself, he must formulate this consciousness that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. What if at this moment, if I look at that woman, Allah Ta'ala snatches away my eyesight. Allah Ta'ala disfigures me. Allah Ta'ala gives me mort at this time. Allah disgraces me. What will happen to me? So think and ponder that Allah is watching me. And make that effort to lower your gaze. And then think of the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that now I will enjoy the sweetness of Iman. And then once a person enjoys the sweetness of Iman, then he'll enjoy the sweetness of his ibadat. And then he'll begin to gain the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you see what futuhat, what openings there'll be for him, not only in his life, dunya, qabr and akhirat. And always have this verse, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ in front of us. That Allah knows the khiyanat of the eyes. Allah knows what's in our hearts, what our hearts contain. So perhaps I will deceive others. Perhaps my wife is sitting next to me, we're taking a drive. And this bichari wife of mine doesn't know what I'm looking this way, that way. And what do we say? A lot of fitna around today, man. People must dress modestly. People must dress modestly. What about your haya and modesty? So it doesn't mean your people are immodest and they are dressed immodestly. Now we must look and enjoy ourselves. This is all dhoka of shaitan. These are all tricks of the nafs. These are all tricks. You see, as the Thani Ramadullah, he gives an example. And he says about when two trains come upon a crossing at a station. You talk about India, they travel by train. Oh yeah, if you're traveling by car or some vehicle, you come to the robot. So Hazrat Aqdas Thani Ramadullah explains that when two trains come upon a crossing at a station, whereby they lie parallel to one another. I'm sure many of us have traveled by trains, especially in India, Pakistan. So the train is going. And, for example, one is destined to go to Mumbai, right? And the other one is going to Ahmedabad. So there's two trains. Now they both have stopped opposite platforms. Hazrat Thani Ramadan explained, Ajib, now look at these are friends of Allah Ta'ala. When a person is sincere and he wants to become very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala bestows upon him knowledge. Allah Ta'ala gives him what we term in the Quran as Furqan. The criteria to distinguish between right and wrong. Allah Ta'ala gives him such wisdom, imbibes him with such wisdom, that from his actions, normally a person will not do such things. His mind will not even go to that point. But these people, Allah Ta'ala will give them such far-sightedness, such basirat, that their mind will go to such a point, which normally no other person will even think of. Two trains, opposite platforms. Hazrat says, if I am positioned at a window seat, train is stopped. Window seat, people are passengers coming, jumping off, some are coming onto the train. I would not roll up my window shutter. Shutter was closed. He said, I will not roll up my window shutter to look at the opposite end due to the possibility that a lady may be seated on that end with her parda lifted, thinking that nobody is looking at her as they are en route and my gaze may fall upon her though unintentional on some part of her body or face, whatever it is. Now we are traveling, we stop at a stop street. We don't have to worry about this car next to us. Hey, what model is Mercedes-Benz, we're asking? You're not looking at the Mercedes-Benz, don't lie. You are looking at the person who's driving. And if she's draped in hijab, of course that's another masla on its own. She shouldn't be driving. But if she's draped in hijab and she's also driving, then now you want to look at different things. You look at the steering wheel. And your glance may go on her fingers. Shaitan is so cunning. Just looking at her fingertips only. Or her fingers. Those flashes will play in your mind the whole day. So, you don't have to, if a cursory glance, of course you're driving. Sharia, don't you know you look down and drive and you just cause accidents? A cursory, we are human beings, we are going to use the road. Sharia is not telling you now you can't even move from point A to point B. Remember I said, if a person is sincere, Allah makes things easy for him. I always tell my students, Allah makes a plan for you. There was one person, he passed away, and he was very regular in his salat, with jamaat. He never used to miss his salat with jamaat. So I was with him one day, and asr time, I can't remember which namaz it was, and we were late for namaz. And I could see the sadness on his face, that today he missed his namaz, jamaat. We were coming to the masjid, still we came, but I could see now, like as though, I could see he was distressed. He was in pain. But when we came to the masjid, we found out that the namaz time just changed that day, and azan only went on then, we said 15 minutes for jamaat. And how happy that person became. Allah Ta'ala makes a plan for you. The man was sincere. So man is genuine, he's sincere, he does not want to look at that woman. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Jaan bhi nikal jai. Your life goes away also. Still, you will not look at that woman. So, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. This is the ilaj we're giving. Two verses we explain. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not ponder and reflect that Allah Ta'ala knows exactly what he is saying? Does he not know Allah knows? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Does he not know? أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. That Allah is watching him. And يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. That Allah knows the disloyalty of the eye. The khiyanat of the eye. The third verse, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. What is the meaning of this verse? Most certainly, Ya Rabb, He lies in wait for you. This word, mirsad. Allah Ta'ala is certainly aware of all things. Allah knows everything. But in this verse, Allah has used the word mirsad. Now this word in Arabic, mirsad, is normally used in hunting. When a hunter has identified his target, he's going to shoot a buck, whatever it is. So it takes a bit of time till he identifies his target. And taking aim, he's about to shoot. He's found his target. He's aiming towards that animal, is about to shoot. That precision with which he now focuses on his target. Those of us who don't know anything about hunting, we won't understand this. Those who are involved in this sport of hunting, they know how much of time and effort goes in finding the animal. Then you are at a distance and then you're going to aim towards the animal. And you have to be absolutely precise. So that precision with which he now focuses on his target and fixes his gaze upon his prey, just moments prior to releasing the bullet from its barrel, this is known as mirsad. So if you understood this, this person has got his target watching, very watchful eye. How he's observing the movement of the prey. And how he has taken aim now. He's about to shoot. He breathes in. He's still. And now he is going to shoot. So that is called mirsad. He says we can well imagine what state of mind of the hunter is at. And he becomes totally oblivious of everything around him. His full concentration and his gaze is focused only at that prey. Now this is the word Allah Ta'ala has used, Mirsad. Allah Ta'ala has used this to explain to us. Of course, Allah is above all examples. But Allah has given this. It is this very precision with which Allah Ta'ala observes our deeds. Every deed we do, Allah is watching like that. Every deed. So nothing escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah monitors our movements. Whatever we are doing. We are in salat, the manner in which we are doing salat. We are talking, we are speaking, we are eating, socializing, we are dealing, whatever it is, Allah is watching. He lies in wait to ascertain what our every move and utterance would be. If we are able to develop this realization and this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do you think we will be able to misuse our eyes or any other limb of our body? It was this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has made our kabir, our slaf, so ultra cautious. This is the difference. And maybe we now then be cautious. But our salaf as-salihin, they were ultra cautious. And we cannot even fathom how ultra cautious they were. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul alameen, committed no gunas whatsoever. Ma'asum. What was his practice? They say, Allama Yafi'i rahmatullah has recorded the narration. There was a tribe of Abdul Qais, name of a tribe that came from Bahrain. He came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst them there was a young beardless boy. I mentioned last week, casting lustful glances at women and even at an Amrat, beardless boy. We explained that in detail. So when he came into the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed the boy to sit behind him during the course of the discussion. Despite the Nabi of Allah being ma'asum and sinless. This was to educate his ummah. That this boy is amrad. He's beardless. It is possible that somebody's glance goes on him and becomes a lustful glance. So Rasulullah shows the ummah that he's beardless and he will sit behind him. And then Rasulullah mentioned further. He said the people of Dawood alayhi salatu salam were trapped in this fitna. This is mentioned in the Targhib al-Tarhib of Allama Yafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Like this, we find many of our elders, our kabir. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, student, a very famous student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. We should know Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi. Great students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. But it's mentioned Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi came to study. He was a young boy, beardless boy, very handsome looking. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said, "You sit behind me." Imagine having dars. Some student might feel, I have to sit behind the ustad. And I want to sit in front of him. I want to benefit from him. And therefore, you find Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah was very particular. If some beardless boy sits in front of him in the bayan, immediately, respectfully to him, by sit down in the back. And afterwards, he'll call him and explain to him in front of others, not alone, why he did that. He won't make mu'anaka with him. Because he is an amrat. This was the caution of our akabir exercise. Imagine us. And why we're mentioning these things today, respected brothers and elders, this is no lie. This has also become a very serious epidemic. Very serious bimari. Sometimes the person is outwardly pious also. Later Allah protect us. Find that he was involved with young boys. We had mentioned that a woman, she is an object of concealment. We respect our women folk. We treasure them. We value them. And therefore, they are kept with such honor and dignity. Hazrat Qari Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah, he was a very great buzurg. Passed away, he should come to our country many times. Had no ta'alluq with dunya. Very simple person. Alhamdulillah, we had the great fortune of reading Taraweeh Salat behind him. In 9 or 10 nights, he had read that whole Quran Sharif alone. Elderly person, with such feeling. Imagine reading Taraweeh behind a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had seen when he came for i'tikaf for the few days and how he left. No ta'alluq with dunya. Hazrat Qari Sahib, Siddiq Sahib, rahmatullah, you see, a girl disappears from her home in the morning and returns only by the evening. Whereas the members of the household have no clue as to where she had gone. For what reason? Nobody knows. She went in the morning. Only she was gone, she comes in the evening. In other words, he's saying that today we don't even bother about our daughters, our sisters. We've got younger sisters, unmarried sisters, or we've got daughters. We don't even bother. Only they are gone. And they come in the evening, pitching up late hours of the night. Nobody questions them, nobody asks them. He says, however, of course this is India again, if the hen of the house disappears for a short while, the entire household, including the elderly, rush out in search of it, calling all directions to identify it and rescue that one hen. But this daughter of yours gone whole day, nobody asks, nobody bothers about her. And even if you have to show some concern, if you phone her, she gets upset. Don't trust me. I'm with my friends. The Shariat has given you are the parent and you have every right to monitor the movement of your child. Don't worry what the West says. The West wants to give them such type of freedom which is against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is saying you must fetter them and chain them. Ma'adallah. Islam is not a barbaric religion. Islam is such a beautiful religion. The problem is we don't know the etiquettes of Shariat and the different things that we do. When a person looks at the sunnah, the life and the hikmat behind these things, the same people of the West, they will agree and they say, yes, this makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of wisdom behind these things. Our Rasulullah, as we said, he was masoom. And imagine this person, this amrat beardless person, Rasulullah put him behind, exercising so much of caution to explain the haya of Rasulullah, his own modesty. It is mentioned in the kitabs that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his bashfulness, his haya was equated to the haya and modesty of a virgin girl remaining in the inner chamber of her room. Now, this thing, some may be far-fetched. Allah protect us, Allah forgive us. Illa mashallah. We have to make some exclusions. Generally what happens today? Boy and girl get married. Somehow they have seen, they have known, they have some conversation, some communication, meeting, etc. takes place. And many things else. Those days in the past when our grandparents and all should get married, and this is the truth, many of them may be alive still. The girl didn't even see the boy. The boy didn't see the girl. They were got married. Now we're not going to go those masail and all that. I'm just explaining a point of haya. That the husband comes in, and somebody says, lucky packet. Don't know what he'll get, what she'll get. But in any case, he comes in and she's got full haya. She's looking down. So much of bashfulness she's got. And then he comes. The first time now he's going to cast a glance on his wife and she's going to look at her husband. That haya, that modesty of the true bride. Rasulullah had that type of modesty. That was the modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We claim we love Sunnah, we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our deen is so great, and the whole world must become Muslims, and everything, we will make big conference and slogans, and we'll shout, and this pamphlet, and that magazine, and we'll carry on. But you see, the same conventions and conferences, the person doesn't care one bit about Sunnah, and the woman who is also giving some lecture on some Islamic topic, she's got no scarf on her head, and no haya. What are you promoting? Let us not deceive the people. Let us be loyal. Loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loyal to the deen. When we find things difficult to practice on deen, and because it does not appease the rest of the people, society, now we want to change those things, and then who will be little? The so-called scholars of deen. Those who are on haqq and hidayat, now we'll find faults in them. May Allah ta'ala protect us. As I said, we have lost our ghairat, our sense of self-esteem. We've lost it. And therefore, a man actually allows his wife to flirt with other men in his presence today. He can't say anything. She has her own cell phone. He has his own cell phone. He can't check what messages she is sending, what emails she is receiving. And he can't do the same to us. No ghairat we have. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written regarding Hazrat Qamruddin Sahib, inshallah, just one more incident. Mullah Qamruddin Sahab Rahmatul Ali was the Khalifa of Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatul Ali. And he was the Imam of the Jami Masjid of Saharanpur. Talking about Saharanpur, Mullah Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatul Ali, right? On one occasion, he became ill. So to serve as a substitute for him during disease, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali, who was the uncle of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatul Ali, the person who started Tabligh and Dawat, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali, he used to go and lead the Salat on behalf of this Mawlana who was not well. This was when Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali was a teacher in Saharanpur. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatul Ali mentions that when he used to go for Asr Salat, then he would return only after Maghrib. And he would also at times go to perform other salat. Who are we talking about? Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali. So he goes Asr time, he doesn't come back only after Maghrib. And other namaz also he has to go perform. As the Shaykh Rahmatul Ali writes, that sometimes he would also accompany his uncle at times. That is, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali was the uncle, as the Shaykh was the nephew, and he accompany his uncle for salat. He says, he very vividly shares his observation during these occasions. That from the time Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali would leave his home until the moment he reached the masjid, his gaze would remain fixed upon his feet. Similarly, upon their return from the masjid till they reached the madrasa, he observed the same. He further shared his observation regarding Hazrat Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatul Ali. Whenever he set forth from his home, he was very, very particular in keeping his gaze lowered. Now these were Akabir. These were the Salaf al-Saliheen. These were the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just from the madrasa to the masjid. But to lower the gaze when they would walk. Very common. We say, we have heard the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. telling Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, "Oh Ali, Ya Ali, abstain from casting a second look, a second glance at a strange woman. If you perchance had been involved therein, because the first case is overlooked and forgiven, but not the second one." So Hazrat Mufti Sahib writes, though the first case is overlooked and forgiven, it is not devoid of any harm. Now you may perhaps ask the question, unintentional gaze falls on a strange woman. What are the consequences thereof? You see, the answer is simple. Immediately you turn away. You lower your gaze. You'll be forgiven. You didn't commit any sin because it was unintentional. But then, our Akabir have explained. That after mentioning this hadith, that don't look a second time. It was not such that they were not aware of this hadith. That the first one is forgiven and not the second one. So you looked at the first time, there's no guna. They knew that hadith. Despite this, they would not even allow that a mistaken glance be taken by themselves and very strictly discipline themselves upon this. So even the first glance also, the accidental gaze also, they were so cautious about that also. When you're making tawaf, sometimes this side is a woman in front of you, behind. But if a person does not want that accidental gaze even to fall, because he does not want to spoil the tawaf of his, because that's the time he's connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala makes it possible for him that not a single glance, even an accidental glance will fall on any woman. This Allah ta'ala makes hifazat. But the point here is that even that accidental glance, they were even worried about that. It was for this reason that even though the first gaze is forgiven, understand it properly. First gaze is forgiven. But if due to that gaze, a particular image became embedded upon the heart, then it would not be devoid of harm either. Therefore, ulama say that accidental gaze is forgiven, but you looked at the first time, you don't stay and you carry on enjoying that one gaze until the woman is gone, and then you say, no, it's only first gaze is forgiven. No, no, no. With accidental gaze, by chance, you just look, immediately turn away. That was the accidental gaze. So if a person unintentionally eats poison, for example, it cannot be sinful. Unintentionally eat it. Yes, poison is poison. And intentionally you eat it, then you're going to get this grave, big sin for it. unintentionally he ate the poison. He'll be mid-maf. But the effects of the poison will still be there. Especially in the case now in when the person happened to see the woman and that image of that woman, even though it was a quick flash, but it comes into his heart. And now he's going to begin to fantasize and all that. Now he's going to get guna there. Therefore, the moment this gaze fell, immediately turn away. Allah Ta'ala then makes it easy for the person. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala help us. Many people in jobs and professions and such type of environment is difficult. It's surrounded by these type of fitnas, but they have to work. What do? Azma Abdul Hayr, Rahmatullahi, he said, he had resolved not to raise his gaze ever and made himself accustomed to do so. So whatever environment the person is in, and you are forced to be in that environment, you have to exercise this extra caution, lower your gaze. I swear by Allah, maybe in the beginning people may laugh at you, but after some time they'll have more respect for you. They will be able to trust you with the woman folk, even the disbelievers. This man, we know he will not interfere with our woman folk, with our daughters. Because he got such modesty and haya in his life. The person keep on flirting and being indecent and immoral, nobody will trust him. Even the disbeliever won't trust you. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making amal whatever we have said. May Allah help us and give us that himmat not to cast that lustful gaze upon any na-mahram. Otherwise, we'll be deprived of this noor of iman and we won't enjoy ibadat. We'll become weak and this glow of iman from our faces and our hearts will disappear. Zulumat will enter our heart. We'll find ourselves going away and away from Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.